Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Mike Howe from Metal Church, and you're listening to The Sonny Thomas Show. Yeah!
That we've lost.
Look out!
Welcome back to the Resolution Radio Network at ResolutionRadio.com. You are listening to the St. Thomas Show, and I am your wild and crazy-ass fucking host. That's right, you little bitches. It's Sunday motherfucking PM. We're going to be rocking the fuck out with some good shit. We're definitely going to be genuflecting at the altar inside the metal church. This is a very special tribute to Mike Howe of Metal Church, the second singer of the band, as well as the second singer of Metal Church to pass. And it was very much a shock. A coworker told me this the other day, and I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me, dude. He's only 55 years old. Cause of death still has not been released. Probably won't happen for a while. But I would assume it's probably something really sudden, or maybe he had an illness he had kept hidden from the band, and it finally just caught up with him. I don't know. My suspicion is maybe he had a stroke or a heart attack or something. Hard to say. But, again, it's hard. And we've had a whole rash of deaths. The past several weeks, John Loudon of Uriah Heep, he's the second singer, I do believe, had passed away about a month or so ago. And let's see. Then, of course, Jeff LaBar had passed away. And, of course, then Mike Howe, and then, of course, Dusty Hill of ZZ Top had just passed away, too. So it was like, holy shit, dude. So it's been really hit. So, like, we've got to stop with this metal dust, man. There's just something seriously going on here. But we're going to do a couple different things here on this thing. I did two interviews with Mike Howe. My first with actually a major... a major rocking band member. I mean, I've done interviews in the past, little short ones here and there, but never to the point where I was able to properly, professionally video it, get good questions down, and then format it, put it out for release. So thank you very much, Mike Howe, for granting me both interviews. Matter of fact, when I was hoping to approach Overkill when they were playing Date, I was trying to interview Blitz, and I was able to link to my video interview with Mike Howe as an example of what I do. So really helps my portfolio a lot. So thank you very much, Mike, for taking the time, as well as the second time. The first time when I approached him again in Indianapolis, I thought maybe he was kind of blowing me off a little bit, but actually what he's trying to do is figure out where the hell we're going to do it at. We were going to do it outside because it was a very small venue. Turns out this place had a lower level. And even if you still hear music playing in the background, I mean, you can hear them playing Great Expectations by Kiss off Destroyer. But we were able to do another short interview as well, talking about the album, Damned If You Do. So we were able to cover that. So we're going to play a lot of Mike Howe's tenure with Metal Church. Opening track was Beyond the Black, which is actually originally from the first album that David Wayne had done. But that was actually a live version off the album Classics Live, which I'm assuming was probably recorded in the early to mid-1990s, between 93 and 96 maybe. And actually, I hadn't been able to purchase that album because, see, I like actually having CDs. I don't like just downloads. I like CDs because I appreciate the full artwork. I like reading all the credits, who they thank, plus a lot of times I have the lyrics. I really love commentaries when artists have commentaries in their albums. That's one way of them communicating with their fans. But that's always a cool thing itself. But we're going to try to cover as much as possible. I'm having some technical issues right now, so I'm not able to play all the stuff I wanted to. But we're definitely going to start with some good shit. So we are definitely going to be jamming out with some kick-ass Metal Church featuring Mike Howe. He played on 5 albums. Actually, technically 6 now. So his first album was the 3rd album, Blessing in the Skies. And that came out in 1989. And I remember that was a very interesting record. I had friends I had talked to, and I remember some of the commentary they talked about it at the time. And then in 1991, they had a very phenomenal follow-up, but this time they're on a different label. They're on Epic, The Human Factor, a very excellent, very well-written album. Unfortunately, I think a couple different things. I don't think Epic pushed as far as they should, and the album cover is definitely controversial for the simple fact that it's just a shot of laying down with a bunch of candles around them with no band logo, no album title. I mean, it's not like these guys are the Beatles, okay? So it would easily get lost in a pile. Who the fuck is this? Well, it's Metal Church. Well, unless you know who the band is, you'll never know who the fuck it is. So I think that really overshadowed the quality and material of the band's album, that's for sure. Then in 1993, they came out with Hanging in the Balance, which was on Blackheart Records, which I do believe is Joan Jett's label. She is featured on one of the tracks. But interesting enough with that one, too, they may have been taken seriously with the album cover, the big, huge, giant, obese woman looking like a, you know, like, you know, Hilda the Viking or something and Hagar the Horrible or whatever. And it was very cartoonish. It was cool. And actually, I've never listened to that album before, but probably because I didn't take them very seriously. But I just listened to it a little bit today, and I was like, holy shit, man, this thing's very well done. It's very well mixed. I was like, damn, what am I missing? And I had to download it off of YouTube because it's not even listed on Amazon Music. But I did manage to get some other material that I hadn't gotten yet or I was missing. A lot of my stuff is still packed up in a storage here right now, so I've recently been digging out some of my old CDs so I can put them all on my external hard drive, but I hadn't gotten to the M's yet, so I actually had a couple of live tracks that I could have played from their tour over in Hindhoven doing a live version of Dig with Poverty. That was pretty cool. I remember playing on the air when I was in radio in high school, but anyway, Metal Church is a very unique band. Nobody sounds like them. They're heavier, they're harder than hard rock, but they're not really heavy metal. And I think it's because of the rhythms. But they're a very interesting band overall. And Mike Cowell brought a maturity to the band that was very much needed. Nothing against David Wayne. David Wayne definitely set the tone for the band. But Mike Cowell brought a lot of social and political issues to his lyrical content, and I really think it really upped the band's status, their ability and stuff. As far as the last couple of albums, when they reunited with them in 2015 and they came out with the album 11, that was a pretty solid album. It definitely, the song No Tomorrow basically signaled, hey, Metal Church is back with Mike Howe. So it definitely charted very well on the charts. They also did a tour with Megadeth and some other shit, so they really put them back on par where they should have always been. So that was pretty cool. So a couple years later, come out with Damned If You Do, some good tracks in the album, but nowhere near as good as the last record. They also changed from Jeff Plate on drums to Stett Howland, and I love Stett Howland. I think he did a lot of great stuff with Wasp, but I don't think he was mixed well in the record. Besides knowing some of the killer drum rolls he can do, he really had to tone down his style to fit Metal Church's arrangements. So, and I got to talk with Stett at length, actually, in Indianapolis. I did not know that he had a bout with cancer recently, and he's pretty much in remission over that. And I had actually met him once before, Wasp on the Hell Dorado tour at Amy's in Cincinnati. I had gotten some signatures from him, and actually Stett had signed one of my CDs, so I got that somewhere. But anyways, I thought that was pretty freaking cool. Just good stuff. So we are going to I'm going to play at full length the interview I did with Mike Cowell on the tour bus here in Dayton at Odd Bodies September of 2016, and then we're going to play the interview again I did with Mike Howe in Indianapolis at the venue there. And that was, I believe, in June of 2019. So we're going to play both of those during the segment. But we are definitely going to jam some of the great songs that he fronted with Metal Church. And for everyone who listened to Metal Church, especially when Mike Howe came along, we're going to play the first song they would have heard, which is the opening track off of Blessing in the Skies. And this song is even more relevant now than it is 30 years ago. It's pretty badass. Here is Fake Healer.
We'll be right back.
Healer from Metal Church off the album Blessing in Disguise, the third album overall and the first album with Mike Calla as a vocalist. Now, Mike actually was originally from Michigan, and he was in a band called Snare. And then, actually, they were originally called Hellion, but after they moved out to Los Angeles, they changed themselves to Snare. And then he joined a band called Heretic. And then they recorded the Breaking Point album in 1988. And right about that time, he got recruited by Metal Church to replace David Wayne on vocals. So process began very quickly working on the record. And again, you can really hear a difference in style and maturity in the lyrics between David Wayne and Mike Howe. Like I said, that's not to take anything away from David Wayne. David Wayne had his own style, and he helped set the tone for the band. I mean, those first two Metal Church albums are instant classics. The first album is rock solid, self-titled Metal Church, and the second album, The Dark, is incredible. Matter of fact, my mechanic, one of his workers, got him into Metal Church because he's a guitar player, and he's like, dude, there isn't one of those songs I don't like. Shit, they're fucking awesome. Younger guy, you know, so to hear a cool band like that and think it's cool, it's always awesome. Stone Sour did a cover of The Dark recently, and actually, if you look at the video on YouTube, it's cool as shit. It's got the actual album cover of The Dark on there, but it's like live action. So it's like the doorway, I'm assuming, to a church. It's got the lights on each side of the doorways. They're slightly flickering, and you can see fog slowly flowing through. And, of course, inside the doorway are the two red eyes that occasionally blink at you. It's badass. It was a pretty good version. Okay, so definitely some good shit. I'm going to reserve Badlands, which is their one of their singles, and it's very well rated, by the way, and videos. We're going to see that for a little bit later in the program. We're going to fast forward to their next album, 1991's The Human Factor. And there's some really good out songs on there. Again, I think the album cover really did the band a disjustice, not to mention that Epic obviously did not really promote them as well as they should have, even though they opened up for a lot of really great metal acts, including Metallica. It just didn't push them enough that they needed to do. So I have featured the track Date with Poverty on here many times. But let's open up with the title track and the opening track from that album, The Human Factor. And this is a very good critique about modern-day music. Check this out.
Thank you.
1991 album, The Human Factor. Very good commentary on modern music, and that was 30 years ago, so it's just as relevant now as it was then. I think Mike Howell really brought a lot of talent to the band, and he had an interesting singing style, similar to David Wayne's in some ways, but yet totally his own. So when it was announced that he was coming back in 2015, everybody got excited. And, of course, the album came out. It was rock solid, which is 11. So it's pretty good stuff. So we're going to play with Date with Poverty off that album as well, from the album The Human Factor. And, again, everyone can relate to this song, that's for sure. And I know a lot of metalhead guys still talk about this song because it's pretty badass and it's catchy as fuck. So here is... I think with poverty.
Sometimes I need a change.
Oh, yes. Dateless Poverty from the Human Factor by Metal Church. Great fucking song. Everybody can relate to the fucking lyrics of that song. I'm telling you what, it is phenomenal. It still holds up after 30 years. And yes, that album came out 30 years ago. Think about that. 30 years. I mean, he's 25 years old when that album was released. I'm like, hey, fuck. So, I mean, seriously, we're looking at all of our bands now, and I've stressed on the show before many times, and now I'm really stressing hard now. Now the COVID crap is, well, we thought we were almost over. No, the other Delta variant, they're talking about going back to masks. Fuck you. So basically, here, mask this. So, talk about fake healer. So that's one of the things we're talking about now, is that a lot of these bands got screwed last year and not being able to play. Major tours were scheduled and then postponed. Some canceled all outright. So I encourage you, though, as long as venues still feature all these bands that we all grew up with, the newer bands, especially of this millennium, are nowhere near as good as those bands because they're legendary. And they've done the trials and tribulations, and they've got good material. Now, I'm not saying bands such as some of my newer favorite bands, such as Battle Beast or Beast in Black, for example, are crappy or anything like that. They have very good records of their own right, and they can definitely hold their own. But I always worry about longevity. Metal Church has been around, formed in 1980, first releases in 85, and they're still jamming until recently. I don't know what Kurt Vanderhoof is going to do now that Mike's passed away. That's a big if. But we are going to feature some tracks from the latest release called From the Vault, which is some leftovers and B-sides that Mike had done as well. It's kind of prophetic that they would release this, a year before something actually happened to him. I'm like, what the fuck? So kind of makes you wonder if he didn't have an illness and kind of kept it down low. You know what I mean? It does make you wonder, why would they put out something like that? But anyway, that being said, I heard some tracks from Hanging in the Balance today, and I was like, wow, dude, I can't believe I didn't buy this album. Because I'm usually a big audiophile. I usually go out and buy all these band shit. And I was really surprised I did not go and buy that Metal Church album. I don't even have Masterpiece, but David Wayne had come back. So I need to step up my game a little bit, I definitely need to step it up. So, but anyways, okay, so we're going to play the first track from that album, Hanging in the Balance, and I'll tell you what, this thing fucking rocks balls. From 1993, here's the opening track of Hanging in the Balance, Gods of a Second Chance. Check this out.
Yeah! you're praying, hoping that I'm praying the God's a second chance.
That is definitely badass. That is badass. That is definitely, definitely badass. I'm looking forward to cranking that whole album out, actually. Very much looking forward to it. So, Mike had left in the mid-1990s, completely disenfranchised by the music industry, and basically just walked away from music altogether. And in the process, he had two boys. And basically turned into carpentry. So it's interesting that he would totally change his lifestyle such as that, but it's good stuff. So things just kind of progressed, and years later, they had another singer, Ronnie Monroe, which I really don't think really fits Mel Church. His voice is too rough and raspy. It's just not too, copacetic with that one. So, but by the time they started getting back, they just happened to come across each other again, talk about some stuff, send some material, start playing around, boom. We do cover that in the interview I did with him in 2016. So, that being said, let's play their Metal Church is Back track. We are going to play No Tomorrow from their album 11, which came out in 2016. And like I said, as soon as you hear this, especially with the typical things you hear from Metal Church, this definitely says, yeah, these guys are all firing in all eight cylinders. And yeah, and Mike is back. No Tomorrow from the album 11. No Tomorrow by Metal Church. That definitely says that band is back, that's for sure. We're going to feature another track from that album, 11. This is the opening track, Reset. Opening track off the 2016 album 11 from Metal Church. Opening track, definitely great. I'm a big fan of opening songs. It really sets the whole tone for the album. It definitely sets the whole shit. But then you know the third track is No Tomorrow, and you're like, holy fuck! But Killing Your Time was a really great. Follow-up track on that as well before you go into that tomorrow, so I thought that was pretty damn good too. So that's some good shit. Okay, so we're going to play the first interview I did with Mike Howard 2016 there on the tour bus, and that's about 14 minutes long or so. So you'll be able to hear a lot of the talking points I do with Mike, talk about the band's history and some things like that, and just good overall conversation. I'm very humble I was able to have that. And thank you again so much, Mike. I really appreciate it. So here's my interview with Mike Howell on September 16th of 2016.
Hey, this is Sonny Thomas from the Sonny Thomas Show on ResolutionRDO.com. And we're here to interview Mike Howell of Metal Church, who not only is the second singer from the band, but he's also returned to definitely do some serious throwdown and slam. Their new album, 11, Roman numerals X and 1, which is 10 and 1 in Roman, is actually done very well on many of the charts and is actually actually in the Billboard Top 200 at 157, which is phenomenal. So it just goes to show, when you got a winning formula, you stick with it. So here today is Mike Howell of Metal Church, and we're going to discuss a little bit about the current album as well as some of the classic albums that he did with Metal Church back in the early 90s. But we're going to focus on this current album, also how he sees as some of the positive critical reviews of the record, and also they're going to be touring with Megadeth here in the next week or so. This is really awesome. So, Mike.
Thank you, Sonny. Good to be here.
So, when you originally started, you were actually in a band called Heretic, correct? Before you joined Metal Church?
Yeah, and before that it was a band called Snare. Mm-hmm. So we moved from Detroit area to Hollywood in 1984 to pursue our metal career there, and I was with them for about a year, and then we disbanded, and I joined up with Heretic for about 9 months, actually, and they had already had songs written for their Breaking Point album that we did, so we went in and did that, and that's where I met Kurt Vanderhoek, because he produced that record, and we started working together there, and we discovered a beautiful chemistry between the two of us, and so that kind of blossomed into the Metal Church thing. So he asked me if I wanted to try out for Metal Church, because there was an opening, because Dave Wayne had left during that period, and so I said sure, and I flew up and gave it a shot, and he called me back a week or two later and said, if you want the gig, it's yours. And during that trial for Metal Church, he had written this song that he was really proud of, Anthem to the Estranged, and so he had me track it on a four-track and do the vocals, because he really wanted to see how that song would work out. So that was kind of my test song, Anthem to the Estranged, and then I played with the boys, Greg and Kirk and John and Duke, and everyone seemed to like what I was doing, and the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah, the album's pretty solid, especially with some movie tracks. I mean, you have the Fake Healer and Rest in Pieces. I mean, really great. Not to mention, you guys also change the subject matter a little bit from some of the more paranoia type of stuff of the David Wayne era. And then you kind of more modernize a little bit, and just a tad bit heavier. I mean, I remember talking to some of my friends at the time who were also, and they loved that change.
Yeah.
I mean, David Wayne has the magic chemistry from the original.
Sure, yeah.
But it's pretty obvious they had a winning formula with you in the band, and I mean, Badlands was actually very widely received. I mean, surprisingly, even MTV, I do believe, played the full album-length version of it in the video from time to time, and that was almost unheard of.
Yeah, it was a pretty exciting time, and that was the only song, that was the first song I was involved in writing with Kurt, and but yeah, I mean, with Dave out of the picture, Kurt stepped up and did a lot more lyric writing and things like that, so I think that was the natural evolution of Kurt and then me coming in there, our chemistry together.
Now, were the album sales respectable compared to The Dark? Is that why Elektra kind of did not stick with you for the next record, or Epic make a better opportunity for you guys to jump ship and go there?
No, well, I think that the record sales were good for Blessing in Disguise. I don't think it was a matter of record sales. I think it was a matter of a disinterest at Elektra. You know, they had Metallica, and I just think that was enough for them, and we didn't have anybody there that was going to bat for us. So, that's why. And then we were going through managerial changes and problems there, so when we jumped ship on a manager and went to a new one, the new manager was like, well, let's go to another company that, Epic, that seems to maybe want to do better for you. So that's what we did.
That's interesting, because, I mean, like you said, when you look at the two albums between The Dark and Blessing in Disguise, there's definitely a maturity level that's definitely increased. And then it really went to like the stratosphere with The Human Factor. I mean, it's just a phenomenal record overall. I mean, I don't think there's really a bad song on the record.
No, well, thank you. It's very kind of you. And I love that record as well. But like I say, all these records are like your babies, your children, and everyone's different. And the time period that you're writing and recording is different. You change. And that's a beautiful thing also.
So in 93, after you left, you actually officially retired in 1995 and decided to do domestic life.
Mm-hmm.
Were you still kind of noodling around with music at all, just in your own free time? You just washed your hands up?
Yeah, I was done. No, I was very disenfranchised with the whole music business, you know, mm-hmm. because of things that, for lack of a better term, ruined the music, my love of being in a band and being in metal church. Because I loved being in metal church, and I really felt that managers and the whole business itself just kind of ruined the music for me. You know, left me with a bad taste in my mouth.
Coverdale often said that after broke up Whitesnake, said the same thing.
I just had to get away, you know, and stuff. Because it ruined music in general. I didn't even want to, like, listen to music. I was like, God, this whole thing is... So, you know, years later, of course, I fell back in love with music, and all of a sudden, it was a switch to music. But, and I did my thing domestically, and here we are now. Kurt, almost 2 years ago, in the fall of 2014, called me, and we started conversations about how it was different and how, what we wanted to accomplish and how that would happen, and here we are today.
There's definitely chemistry difference between Ryan Monroe and you coming back on. I mean, just the couple of those albums that featured him, it seemed a lot darker. I mean, it just didn't have some of the gravitas of either you or Wayne. What was interesting, when you come back and you listen to 11, you're just kind of like, wow, it's like everybody's like, man, now the church is back, you know? I mean, like you said, when you got a winning formula, you stick with it.
If you can.
Yeah. If you can, right. That's true. Yeah. Just ask Blackie Lawless, I mean, the line of changes that he's had in his career.
Yeah, well, you know, it gets tough. Everyone has their personal lives and, you know, their own trials and tribulations to go through, so if you can keep the guys together, it's a blessing, right? In disguise.
Yeah, right. You know, one of the things I like interesting about Blackie Lawless is the fact, especially since the Crimson Idol, he really started dedicating more time to liner notes, writing stuff about the songs and things of that nature, which I think is a good thing in a way, because of the fact that when you listen to the album by itself, you get one impression. When you go back and read what the artist is actually trying to convey, you're kind of, oh, I didn't get that. I mean, how many kids I knew didn't even know Master of Puppets was about cocaine, you know, and about addiction. Nobody had a clue. They just thought it was a cool riff, Master of Puppets. You know, stuff like that. But of the albums that you played on, as well as the new album, especially some of the old stuff, what are some of the songs you think are still as competitive today as they were 25 years ago?
Oh, I think a lot of them are, you know, Deep in Poverty, In Harm's Way. There's the social Stuart still out there that I'm struggling with nowadays, so a lot of people still connect with what's going on, and, you know, very satisfying, and it makes us feel good about, you know, what we've done in the past and the art that we had created, and you know, people coming up to us every day saying, oh, it really meant a lot to us, and it still does. It really makes you feel good, you know, so we're grateful for that.
Well, you guys wrote about life.
Yeah,
I think
that's
right.
Being honest is the main thing, you know, so that's what we try to do, is just be honest about our music.
Because they have to say about Lynyrd Skynyrd, they said every song they ever wrote, they lived.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they wrote it. I mean, I think a lot of us who also listen to Poison, for example, they write about life, and they can make it entertaining, and they can also make it sad, you know, for some of the stuff like something to believe in. But I think that's why people keep going to see Poison, not just because the sound of the era, but the realness of the lyrics and the music, because they can totally relate to it, and they can live with that. I think Metal Church still has that. That's why a lot of people are really excited about the new record. Plus the fact you guys have a unique sound. That's one thing I always liked about Metal Church. You get lumped into the thrash metal scene, but you really aren't thrash, and you really aren't heavy metal. You're hard rock, but you're harder than hard rock.
Yeah.
It's really weird, but I know a lot of friends of mine who, they have Metallica and Motley Crue, but they've always had a copy of Metal Church somewhere in their collection. So how do you how do you think about that?
Well, we just don't want to be pigeonholed to one genre of music or one type of music within our genre, you know? We don't want to get bored, you know, with ourselves. Like, oh, we'll write some heavier stuff, we'll write some mid-tempo, we'll write some speed stuff, just to mix it up and make an album that is got a lot of different feels and, you know, a lot of different emotions on it, and that's the kind of record that we like to make and we like to listen to, you know, so if it sounds the same from the beginning to the end, it bore us, so that's how we approach it.
So how do you feel about the reaction to the two videos that you had posted on the main website when you were showing you re-recording Badlands as well as the video for No Tomorrow? I mean, actually, I thought it was pretty cool. And then that silo, whatever the heck it was, and then they just imploded it afterwards. Yeah. I was like, oh, well, so much for a retake if you had to go fix that.
But that's an archival shot. So
yeah. But it was a really cool video. I mean, like I said, because one of the problems with technology with videos these days, it's harder to make them look, you know, that look or glammy like it did back then. That's more in-your-face reality. This is the band playing.
Yeah.
Even though you may lip-sync to some of it, it's harder for some of the older bands to look as competitive because some of them, oh, it looks like he's running off of the episode Lip Sync or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just like, dude, it's a cool band. I mean, how could you not dig Metal Church? I mean, I remember a buddy of mine was talking about Cradle Filth, and he's just like, oh, man, you got to check out this band, dude. It sounds like Metal Church. I'm like, okay. And so I popped it in. I heard that. Like, ah, dude, they sound nothing like Metal Church, man. What are you smoking, dude? And he's like, no, the music. I said, no, dude, that sounds nothing like Metal Church. I said, I have not heard anybody sound like Metal Church.
Well, thank you.
And seriously, I mean, you guys definitely have your unique sound that if anyone were to try to copy, they go, dude, you're ripping off Metal Church. So well, I've seen that.
That's why I love Metal Church. And I'm very lucky to be in Metal Church. So that's what draws me to the band, and that's what drew me back into the band.
So now that you guys are also doing some bigger tours with headliners like Megadeth and also playing overseas and stuff, obviously there's going to be talk later on of possible new album. Are you having any plans about maybe recording some of these gigs on your current tour, either for future release or just have for archive?
Yes.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, so yeah, we do have things in the works. So we have a lot of things in the work. Metal Church have been we've been very busy this year, and we're very happy that we've been able to be busy this year. It's been a banner year for us, and it, you know, it's exceeded all our expectations. That's a double negative. But we're so grateful and thankful to be here today and look back at the year we had. We could have never guessed how, you know, receptive the crowd was and how receptive all the fans were and to our record and all that. And like I said, we're just so happy to be here. So we've done a lot of things, recorded some live stuff, and we've made some videos, and we've got a lot of things in the work coming up still this year, so we're very excited, and then we're going to get back in the studio really soon and start writing another record, because we want to just keep going with this. Yeah.
So the current album, what are probably your two or three favorite songs?
Well, I mean...
Not just composition, but also enjoy playing live.
Sure, well, Reset is one that I love doing. We don't play it live yet, but Needle and the Sutures are really a big favorite of mine, and No Tomorrow, which is why we picked for the video. That was the first song that really caught me and the rest of the guys, and said this is definitely a hooky song that we really love playing. So. But then there's 8 other songs that are really good too.
Right. It's like your children. I think you can pick your favorite one.
Yeah, there's no favorites, but they grew.
You know, a lot of artists say that I really enjoy the songs, but some of them they enjoy more live because either they like the reaction from the crowd,
that's true,
sing-along ability, or just because when they say that message, they know they get a reaction.
That's true.
So some artists may say, oh, I really like this song live, even though I prefer this song on the album.
Well, that was the beautiful thing about coming back to Metal Church and having the new members for me. The rest of the band play these old Mike Howe songs, and they're like, wow, we've never played these songs before, and they're like, these are fun to play. So it's like a whole new band and a whole new experience, so everyone's getting really excited about, wow, this is fun. So we think about other songs that we haven't played and go, wow, that is a fun song to play, like you said, that they wouldn't think of.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Good to meet you. Thank you so much.
Like I said, we appreciate just the good old school metal because of the fact that obviously if it doesn't suck, people still come.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. We appreciate everyone still coming and supporting Metal Church over the years.
Well, I think metal fans do have that camaraderie. They get attached to the bands, and then they always show up. Even if it's short supply, you still have a diehard guaranteed 50 to 100 people that will show up at a gig just because, dudes, they're heroes. They've listened to the album for years, and they can't imagine not going to the gig.
Well, metal is a very passionate music form of music. It brings out a lot of emotion in people, and that's where I come from. I'm a very emotional guy, and so I can relate. So it has a very special place in my heart.
That's awesome. Uh-huh. Make sure you go to metalchurchofficial.com to go check out more of the music and tour dates from the band, and also make sure you go to the store and buy their swag and their music, so that way you can definitely Yes, definitely. So that way you can appreciate it as well, and also show your colors when you go to other metal gigs. It's like, yeah, dude, I saw Metal Church. Fuck yeah.
Right on.
That was good stuff.
All right, that was my interview with Mike in 2016. So that was a pretty cool thing. We had a very good exchange, and he's just very awesome, dude. Definitely one of the coolest rockers I've ever met. He definitely fits in that top 10 category, that's for sure. Oh, yeah. So they come out with their next release in 2018, and it was called Damned If You Do. And I thought, wow, this is the opening track was pretty solid. I didn't think the album was as good as the last record. Again, they made a change. Jeff had left, and Stett Howland had come in, and I thought Stett's a great drummer in my view, but I just don't think he totally fits in Metal Church because they're not geared to be fast heavy. But he's definitely an excellent timekeeper, and nothing against the man and his drumming ability at all. It's just definitely a totally different style than when he's normally playing like Wasp or something like that. So, good stuff. But here is the title track to their latest original album, Damned If You Do.
Hum.
All right, it's a title track from their 2018 album, Damned If You Do. It's an awesome video, too. You should definitely check it out. Okay, so we're going to play the interview I did with Mike at the basement of that venue there in Indianapolis. And, again, there's a lot of noise in the background because, obviously, they're playing a lot of background noise while they're tearing down the gear and stuff. But here's the interview I did with Mike. There's that venue in 2019, and then we're going to cover some of the newest material.
Well, Mike, it's good to see you again.
Good to see you, Sonny.
It's awesome. Last time I saw you in Dayton in 2016, 11 was out, and it's actually had a lot of good reception to it. And it's like the comeback of Metal Church, and not the band that left. But it's like the chemistry is really there, because the fact that you were always a major element to the history of the band. They started a follow-up to the Karate Kid called Cobra Kai. It's actually got Ralph Macchio and Wayne Zapp there, who played Johnny in the original films.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, he starts the dojo under Cobra Kai.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is that one of his students was talking to him. He's like, hey, I made this website, and this, that, and the other, blah, 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 blah. And then while he's talking to him about this website, his mom's calling him, and his ringtone is Rat.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, was that? Yeah, man, it's Rat. And he said, hey, he's middle of the movie getting into him. Sitting there thinking, oh, wow, cool. I'm sitting there thinking, now this is just a character, though. Wait till you listen to Metal Church. Some really good stuff.
Yeah.
So you guys had a really good reception with 11. And, of course, you put out a live album after this.
Mm-hmm.
Covered a lot of classics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, explain some of the writing process in your album, Ben, you could do. Because the fact that you obviously have taken another step forward. And the chemistry is definitely there. The only difference is that you've changed drummers with Step. And Step is a phenomenal drummer and has an impressive resume in his own.
Yes.
So when you guys were doing the writing process for Damned If You Do, what were some little interesting kicks about the writing process that was different as opposed to a letter?
Honestly, it wasn't anything different. Kirk and I have a writing process, is the same writing process as we went through when we first got together, and that chemistry is the same, except nowadays we have digital access at our hands, so we can kind of do a post-production as we're writing. You know,
mm-hmm.
we can move parts around, but basically Kurt comes up in with a song structure, and he gets a full song structure and sends it to me over the internet, and I listen to it, and I get inspired by them, and then once he gets a good handful of songs, I go up to his house and do a studio, and he throws up a microphone, and I get behind it, and he'll ask me what song I'll start with, and I'll say this song or that song, and we'll throw it up there, and I start, whatever comes to me, I throw it out there. You know, we try to get melodies and some lyrics sometimes come out, sometimes they don't, sometimes we use, work in progress kind of lyrics, silly lyrics, just to get the melodies and remember the melodies, and then if we have a part that doesn't belong, we can fly it around with the digital, and basically that's how we finish writing the songs. And once we have the songs written, Kurt records them with his, he gets Step to come in and play the drums, and Step puts down his tracks and does his unique style on top of that, and then Kurt plays with that and bass and get the rhythm guitar, and then Rick comes in and plays the lead and put his signature on, so everyone gets to put their signatures on their own instrument parts to create the album. And we don't overthink it, we just do it, and if we like it, we keep it, and if it's been rocking us, we keep it, and if it doesn't rock us, we move on. And it's just as simple as that, and that's the way we've always done it.
So what are some of the songs in this album that really spoke out to you? Not just the content, but also just overall.
Well, when they do, when something speaks to us in the original, really like a lot, they become the singles, you know. So Damned If You Do is like one of the most unique songs on the record, I think.
How it started all.
And,
I was like,
yeah.
Whoa, man.
The humming and the heavy riff and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it just was for both of those things. And wow, that one's really different than Metal Church.
What about the Black Things?
Yeah, and that's a song Kirk wrote all by himself at the end of the writing process. He just threw another one out there. And that's the beauty of his talent. That's near the end of the writing process. Hey, try to write one more. Boom. That was one of them. Wrote that entire thing by himself, and it just came back.
Now, where's the inspiration for Live Numbers?
Well, I mean, that song just rocked me from the beginning. What a great riff, what a great, you know, arrangement. And it was just something that came out. Like I said, one of those that just come out as you're screaming out lyrics and melodies, and the numbers came out, by the number just came out.
So shifting to some of the videos that you've done so far on the record, what were some of the things that inspired you when you're doing Damned If You Do, especially with you sitting in a chair and the guy?
Well, just talking to the director, Jamie Brown, an amazing talent and director of our videos. We discuss ideas and say, hey, how about this? Want to try this? And yeah, that's great. We'll give it a go.
So I like it because as soon as it starts off, you're walking into it. You're just totally into it. It really gives an excellent model of how you are on stage. I mean, because you're very limber on stage, just like your whole movements and everything. I mean, it definitely gives you a uniqueness that you don't see too many frontmen have.
Well, I appreciate that, but I'm just being me. I think that's the thing that people need to do, is just be themselves, you know, and fully commit.
So when you did the video for By the Numbers, you kind of, like, you really went a little wild on that one. So what's kind of, was there any hidden thing behind that?
No, we just, I talked to the director, Jamie, like I said, like a week before we went into it, and we talked about, I had this idea about, you know, me being the guy that's, you know, got a lot of money and not happy. And I said, I'll go up and buy a thrift store suit, and we just kind of put it together like that. And we got on the day of the shoot, we just talked about scenes and, you know, getting in bed and waking up, and we just kind of built the story the day of, you know, and followed through on our ideas together, and had a lot of fun doing it.
So what's the inspiration by Monkey?
Oh, it was just a great rock song, you know, a metal rock, you know, and there was no inspiration. It was the feel of it was the inspiration. It's like how we write by feel. And if it feels good to us, we go with it. There's no hidden agenda or any big mystery. If it rocks us, and that one would rock us. And when we said Monkey Finger, that was just a fake title at the time, but then we really like it because it was so different. And we're like, what the hell does that mean? I don't know. What's cool?
Yeah. So what is your reception that you've seen? Not just the fans, but the critics with the new album compared to the latter. Was it about the same?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, people love the new album. I think personally I like it better than 11, and just because it's a progression. It's a really aggressive and great sounding record. It feels like a live, you know, like we're really performing our asses off on it. You know, and I really love the mix of it, the energy on it. For me, it's a nice evolution for the next record after,
Mike, thanks for coming back on the show again.
I appreciate you getting the word out.
Metal Church. Definitely. Well, the Metal Church is one on Twitter. MetalChurchOfficial.com is the actual website. And gotta go see Metal Church, like I said, and get the swag, because when you go to any metal gig and someone sees you wearing Metal Church or whatever, just like, dude, fuck yeah, I'll sell Metal Church. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Because it is a family in the metal community. And that's why, I mean, just the shirt that I've seen here tonight. I mean, I saw Iced Earth, I saw Ozzy, I saw stuff. It's a family.
Yeah.
And especially if you got new bands, like obviously Beast of Black in Finland, it's like, people are just, oh, who's that? And it's like, oh, this is a band that I'm going to check out. But again, I've had people try to tell me, oh, some new bands, oh, dude, they sound like Metal Church. And I listen to it, and I'm like, no, they don't sound nothing. Nobody sounds like Metal Church.
Well, thank
you. You guys are that unique.
Well, thank you.
That you're not really metal, you're not really hard rock, but you're like hard rock metal. And,
right.
And nobody sounds like Metal Church. I mean, sound and vocals.
That's the biggest compliment you can get.
I appreciate it.
Hi, this is Mike Howe, and you're listening to the Sonny Thomas Show. Yeah! And get the new album, Damned If You Do.
Oh yeah, so that was my second video with Mike in 2019. There was some pretty good stuff there. Very good stuff. Okay, so now we're going to get into some of the more latest material and some pretty good stuff out there, actually. I was actually quite impressed. Some good stuff. So from the latest release from the vault, a lot of the tracks that were listed are actually B-sides from the Damned If You Do sessions. The last track, The Coward, is actually a B-side from 11. But some really good stuff, and there's some different mixes and some things. But this is the opening track off the latest release from the vault. This is Dead on the Vine. Track from the latest album from the Vault, and a lot of the tracks that are featured on there are B-sides from the Damned If You Do sessions, as well as some B-sides, some others, but there's a couple other tracks in there as well as two covers, Green Eyed Lady, which is a 70s song, and they do a version of Ram Jam's Black Betty. You can tell they had fun while they were doing it. Here is Black Betty by Metal Church. First, a remake of it, sometime in the 90s by a band called Spider Bite. And I thought it was pretty badass. Then I heard the original. I was like, oh, dude, this fucking rocks. That's some Southern rock right there. Yeah, that's their version of Black Betty. That would have been something I'd like to see if Mike had passed his Metal Church come out with a covers album. On the first record, they did do a cover of Deep Purple's Highway Star, which I thought they pulled off pretty good. Also gives you kind of an idea where their sound comes from. But it would be interesting to see what kind of songs they could have covered. Again, they also had the Green Eyed Lady track as well on the From the Vault. So pretty good stuff. Okay, so I think I have time for two more tracks. So we're going to close out with two more songs. And that's actually a song I really like from 11. This is Needle and Suture off the album 11. And then we'll close with Badlands off of Blessing in Disguise. Here's Needle and Suture. We'll be right back. Okay, that's Needle Stitcher off of 11. I think I have just enough time I can squeeze in one more track from Damned If You Do. This is their second single, I do believe. And then we will close it with Badlands from Blessing in the Sky. So here is By the Numbers. Tune in tonight to share some memories I had with Mike Howe, the second lead singer of a heavy metal band, Metal Church. They came out in 1985. Mike was their second singer and also their current one after he replaced another singer, Ronnie Monroe, who after they finished their tenure with him, just things just kind of came into motion and Mike Howe come back into the picture. Very, very good indeed. And I did two interviews with Mike, and I was very, very happy with his time and very much appreciated. So he gave me some very good memories being able to see him perform as well as to talk with him very candidly in interviews. So very cool as well. So I will be listening to Mike Howe era Metal Church albums for a long fucking time, that's for sure. Okay, we're closing tonight with one of their hits, actually. This is a fairly long album, and they've made the video that length and actually got airplane on TV. I was actually shocked. But this is a very good song. This is almost, you can just tell this was going to be a hit as soon as you heard it. Definitely one of those songs that holds up over time and should still be a staple on hard rock and metal stations to this day. Here is Badlands from the album Blessing in the Skies. Salaam Shema and rest in peace, Mike Howe.
You're listening to Resolution Radio.
ResolutionRDO.com.